Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 9 in our teaching on the life of Daniel titled Living in the Lion's Den, Part 2. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
We'll get started here. This will be the last teaching on Daniel for just a segment, doing the first six chapters, and then we'll do the... And Dr. Trevor Craig's going to be teaching for a few weeks here, and then we'll pick back up on... he'll be teaching probably a couple months, 8 weeks or so, on Judges, and then we'll pick back up with Daniel. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for this day that you've made. We thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your house with your people on such a glorious time. Lord Jesus, it's my prayer that you'll fill us with your spirit, with your revelation, with your understanding, that you might be glorified, and that things on this earth might be influenced and affected by the kingdom of heaven for good. For your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, as we begin this teaching on Daniel chapter 6, I started it last week. I'll do just a quick overview of what we covered to bring us back up to speed with where we were. This teaching, the information that I'm conveying to you, I claim no ownership to any of it. I was taught it or read it or... Or if I got any revelation, it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't even me then. So I take zero credit. Everybody can study and read and get revelation from the Lord. And some of the great teachers that I read was, I like Scofield. I use a lot of Scofield's notes. And I use Mike Bickle. Has an incredible study on Daniel. And I'm trying to think of the lady's name. Karen, do you remember the lady's name? Beth Moore. I used some of Beth Moore's. I read some of her. I got taught by her. I got taught by Mike Bickle. I got taught by Scofield. Got taught by some of Ryrie's notes. And then by the Holy Spirit. So I take zero claim to any... thing new. Everything I got it from somebody else. If it wasn't from a man, it was from the Holy Spirit. So, and the reason I say that as a disclaimer is because it's very important that we all know that we all get the same revelation, same teachings. None of us are different. There's no difference in any of it. The only difference in me and you is I've been forced to study and to read so I can present it to you. If you had to be forced to do it, you could do it too. You're forced every Sunday to have to be faithful to the Lord and faithful to His Word. And so that's nothing any different than anybody can do. But I think that the Lord is pressing us all into His Word, all into His teaching, all into His teachers and into His Spirit to gain information that is imperative for this time. Just because you've never had a bad wreck doesn't mean you're going to not have one. And things of the Spirit. So Daniel teaches us about this. A little overview right quickly. We see Daniel, of course, is in the lion's den. Everybody knows the children's story. Daniel's punished for praying to anyone but the king. Remember, the declaration was made. God protects Daniel from the lions, but his accusers are later devoured. So that's kind of the idea of this chapter of Daniel 6. Now remember, Daniel is in Babylon. Babylon is as of the world to us today. It's not that symbolic either. It's literally the same thing. Always remember the historical background. Israel was led into captivity. God allowed Israel's enemies to capture her, take her into captivity. Just remember that. God allowed the captivity. The purpose of the captivity was to get idolatry, to get all of the things out of Israel that put them into captivity. The reason God sent Israel into captivity was to get purify Israel of things that God didn't want in them. The dilemma was they went into captivity of Babylon, and then they just switched vices. They just started being like Babylon. But the intent was to help them purge out of them Babylon. Can you see it? So when you find yourself in your Babylon situation, the human nature wants to justify it, wants to create our human theology to fit the situation we're in so everything's all right. We start taking on the Babylon. Instead of letting the crisis purify us, we start taking on the very thing that was to cleanse us. Keep that in mind. Right quickly. What understanding can we gain? I'm going to go through that one. God's people must typically live as a minority in their culture. We need to know how to do so. Moving on. King Darius installs a new government. We see in Daniel, we went over this last week, Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Here the new government came on the scene. It was the switch, you remember the statue? And this was the switch of the statue into the silver. Changes in government by Darius led to a threat on Daniel's life. They were jealous of him. We had fault finding in Daniel 6:4. Enemies emerge quickly when it comes to politics, especially when favored. That's what happened to Daniel. Daniel was a favored leader in Babylon. Is that not amazing? He was a favored leader and did not have to compromise. Isn't that amazing? Daniel was respected because he didn't compromise. Isn't that amazing? Daniel's anointing came because he didn't compromise. That's understandable. Now, then we went on to the plot that was against Daniel in Daniel 6, verses 5 through 9. Covered this last week again. Can you imagine he was condemned for prayer? Why? What was the accusation against Daniel? The accusation was that he prayed to his God. Of course, we understand the storyline, and in the storyline, he was coerced into being guilty of a law unto his God. What sustained Daniel during these accusations? I explained last week, he started into this holy habit, we called it. Daniel had a habit. So since he had a habit of prayer, the first thing Daniel did when he got into a crisis, he prayed. I went over last week the three ways that you could handle a crisis. One was you can panic and run. The other one was you can become paralyzed and do nothing. You remember that teaching last week? The other thing you could do, he could pray, which is everything. So Daniel had this habit. When he found himself in the crisis and didn't have the answer, Daniel didn't take it into his own hands. Daniel prayed. He allowed the situation to take him everywhere it took him. But he prayed. You remember that? He just prayed. He allowed this. He didn't mess with the situation. He just prayed. To pray is to bring the power of the kingdom into the situation. Now, that's kind of important. If you don't pray, you're not bringing the power of the kingdom into the situation. You can say, well, I've done that and nothing's changing. Well, it's just because you're going to jump out of the plane now without a parachute? Right? It's not working yet. What do? Daniel continued to pray. That's what Daniel did. That is our instruction. I have people all the time say, well, Alan, I don't know what to do. I just got to pray. Well, don't we need to do more than that? Well, if I had more instruction than that, I'd give it to you. I just don't have any more than that. We just pray. That's the instruction. We all have reactions that we use when we respond to a crisis. Daniel had his holy habit, and we went into last week how some people get angry, some depressed, some have a critical spirit, and some go back to old disorders we talked about last week. We went into how did Daniel develop it. We see that he prayed three times a day. Daniel just prayed all the time. And that created in Daniel this ability. His first reaction was just to pray. Then went into how Paul's instruction. Now, this is where we kind of ended up last week. How does Paul instruct us to pray? And we saw to be anxious for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let me put it to you this way. When you're in a crisis, just start. I had a guy here a while back came to me and said, Al, I'm just getting depressed. I just have these times just getting depressed. I said, well, just walk around and thank God for stuff. He said, well, I don't feel that way. I said, well, just do it anyway. Just go around, just be thankful. I promise, when you feel yourself getting down, you're depressed, the crisis is getting you, just start walking around and say, Lord, I thank you for this that you did for me and that. And Lord, I remember back 5 years ago when you... Now, you can say, well, God's not delivered you out of your situation now, but just remember back when God did. Brings that faith into this moment. Criticizing and yourself, internal dialogue of criticizing and talking down on the situation, cursing the situation. You're prophesying to it, is what you're doing. And it says that the peace of God, and I emphasized last week that the peace of God is the gold of humanity. The peace of God is it. It's what it's about. Is having that peace of God. I don't care if you're healthy. I don't care if you're successful. I don't care if you're a failure. I don't care if you got 15 minutes to live. It's all about having the peace of God. A person who has the peace of God argues about nothing. They're critical about nothing. They have the peace of God. It's just a security in knowing that God knows what the heck He's doing. It's a security in that, in knowing who you are in God. The enemy is constantly trying to tell you who you're not in God. He's a liar. Would God say everything in prayer if prayer could not change everything? There you have it. He says, in everything, be anxious for nothing. Does that mean say, oh, I think I'm going to be anxious on this one? Is that the way we do it? All of a sudden we want to check out of it. I'm going to be anxious on this one. When you're being anxious, it is telling you you've just checked out of the peace of God. Whereas, what makes the peace of God the peace of God? It's faith. It's true faith. It's not make-believe faith. It's not fake faith. It's not plastic faith. It's real faith. Real faith equals peace of God. We'll get into that just a little more if I can get on with it. When you are in crisis, speak your prayer out loud and let your prayers progress into a prophetic declaration. That's what Daniel was doing. He was praying out loud, making a prophetic, your prayers turn into a prophetic declaration. Listen. Humans, God has placed us on a planet that we're leaving. He has placed us on a planet that you're not staying. He has placed us on a planet for a little moment of time in eternity. And He hasn't done it as a bad joke. For people to walk with Him in love, He had to put us in a place that we could learn this thing about love and trust in Him. So when He puts you out there flying on nothing, it's your faith that's going to keep you flying in the heavenlies. Your faith in Him. You lose your faith, you start sinking in the waters. It takes faith to fly in the heavenlies, and it takes faith to fly on the earth. When we get it, we got it. Until we get it, we ain't got it. And it's a sad day to go and not be able to fly. In faith. Faith is what keeps you above the noise. Faith is what keeps you ahead of the enemy. Faith is what gives you the peace of God. You break a spiritual sound barrier, and there's no sound. Just everybody smells your dust. Especially the enemy. Now watch this one. Daniel 6:17. The story goes on. It says, "Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed." Daniel, put into the lion's den. Put a stone in front of it. It says the king sealed it. The king had to go up and put his seal, his ring on it, so that it could not be changed. Can you say Daniel was in a crisis? Could not be changed by man. Ah. Had the king's ring on it. He sealed it. One problem. Daniel's sealed by God. So man's seal didn't work against Daniel because he had God's seal. But he did it nonetheless so that nothing could be changed. Daniel's crisis had the seal of death. Now everybody in here, there's not anybody, nobody escapes crisis in life, have you noticed? You're not the only one that's got one or two. Everyone sitting in here has them. Daniel's crisis had the seal of death. The enemy will take you in your crisis until you're convinced that it has a seal of death. It's over. There's no way. Seal of death. Man has accomplished his task through the enemy. Put the ring on it. Do you remember another time when others allowed a stone, rolled a stone in front of the tomb? Anybody remember that one? Let me throw this one at you. You do not have one situation that God cannot change. You just missed a wonderful time to jump up and swing by the chandeliers and say, "Glory, hallelujah." Now, I just told you the truth. You do not have the one situation that God cannot change. You're not that special. Well, that's not the right way to say it. The enemy's just not that good. He just doesn't have but four or five tricks in his bag, and they're all the same. You do not have one situation that God cannot change. The enemy cannot declare God's people finished. Come on, somebody. He cannot do it. He cannot declare you're finished. This is not his right. He just does not have that power. Now, he'll try to fool you into it. Luke 24:1-3. "Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." It's called resurrection power. If you're in a crisis and it's got the seal of death on it, what you're waiting on is the resurrection power. Come on. Did you feel it? It run all over me. Am I the only one that's getting blessed here? So what happened to Jesus? What happened to Daniel? So what will happen to you? Don't throw your opportunity away. Daniel 6:18. "Now the king went into his palace and spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. Also his deep sleep went from him." He went into a crisis. The king was in crisis now. That was Daniel's friend, his buddy. But he got tricked into it. He had to do what he got tricked into, but he was sad. The king was in crisis, I believe, was interceding for his friend. He was asking the God of Daniel to deliver him once again. That's what he said. The king was calling unto Daniel's God to deliver him, and he wasn't even a believer. Is that not amazing? He didn't believe in God, but he believed in Daniel so much that he believed Daniel was right about his God. So he was almost there. See? He's getting close. Isn't that amazing? The king of Babylon was even praying for Daniel. Pretty cool telling you that. Daniel 6, 19 through 20. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? The king got up and he ran down there. His faith was that he loved Daniel so much and he trusted Daniel so much, he believed what that Daniel's God loved him as much as he did. But he was hoping that Daniel's God could do what he couldn't. You've got friends around you that are non-believers that love you. They are trusting that you're right, you're correct in the God that you serve. They're just that close. They got faith in you that you, in your God. They're not quite there yet, but they're getting close. I trust me. They so respect you and love you. They're hoping you're right. God's just not quite got them in the right spot yet. Don't pluck the fruit yet. It's just not quite ready yet. But they love you, and their faith in you, they're 99% there having transferred that faith into God. Through you. That's what happened here. And Daniel, it says, the king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve what? Now, here is what the king was so impressed by Daniel with. The God in whom you serve continually. The king didn't say, my God. He said, your God whom you serve continually. What was the convincingness unto the king was, is that Daniel didn't sway. He continually served his God. So that was impressive to the king. He said, was he able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouth so that they have not hurt me. Because I was found innocent before him, and also I must have done no wrong thing before you. Isn't that amazing? Daniel said, no problem. God sent his angel. Now listen to me. Do y'all believe that happened? I really do believe that happened. Do not, or please consider, God will send angels on your behalf in your crisis. Just be aware and be ready. He loves you as much as he did Daniel. You're no different than Daniel. Daniel 6:23 says, now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No injury, whatever, was found on him because he believed in his God. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. Hungry lions, he should have been eaten. He wasn't eaten. An angel shut their mouths. Why? Because in the midst of Daniel's crisis, he believed in his God. If you're in a crisis right now, what's on trial is not your crisis. It's your faith in your God is what's in crisis. Somebody say, I got it. You're in a crisis, but you're in a bigger crisis than your crisis. Your bigger crisis is your faith in God in your crisis. That is the big crisis. That is the big crisis that the enemy is trying to produce by your lion's den experience. You think the lion's going to bite you, biting you in the butt, and there's a bigger one going to bite your head off. Somebody say, that's good teaching, Alan. You know it's the truth. The big danger is the main issue. What's in crisis is your faith in God, not your crisis. Because if you'll remain faithful in your faith in God, God will deliver you through your crisis. That's just the Word of God. That's all I got to say about that. That's where the crisis lies. Daniel 6:24. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel. They cast them into the den of lions. Them, here it gets a little rough. Their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Just be careful when you're throwing another believer in the lion's den. It'll come against your family, come against your children, come against everybody. Be careful when you throw a believer in the lion's den. Be much better to be thrown in the lion's den than be the one that's throwing them in the lion's den. Now, this is a little hard to read. I want to throw this in there. This was Josephus. You know, he was a historian back then. And what happened was the guys that all of these princes, the ones that threw Daniel in the lion's den, well, after Daniel come out of the lion's den, according to Josephus here, he was writing down, it's really, he has a lot of historical writings, and he said what they were saying was, well, you fed the lions before you put Daniel in there so they weren't hungry. Well, Josephus is the one who recorded this. It says, the reward of a malicious princess was the wrath of the king. Josephus tells us that they accused him of feeding the lions to save Daniel. So even though he had witnessed a miracle overcoming their treachery, they accused him of orchestrating it. They could not tolerate his, which is Daniel's, lording over them, and so their real motives became exceedingly apparent when they had exhausted all reason and began accusing their own king for the failings of their own treachery. That's a little dangerous there, wasn't it? They desired to be lifted up and by impure methods. They found themselves being thrown down. Josephus tells us that to determine if they were right, the lions were not hungry. He had them and all of their families cast into the lion's den, empowered them, and broke all their bones. Here's what he's saying. King said, okay, guys, if I fed the lions so they wouldn't eat Daniel, let's see if that's true. And he just threw the whole crowd in there. What that means is, whoever you're throwing in the lion's den, you're going to be the meal. You and your family. You can say, well, Alan, they did me wrong. Pray for them. Say, Alan, they betrayed me. They hate me. They're tricking me. Pray for them. Go throw them in a lion's den. Just remember, when you're in the belly of that lion, that you heard the truth. You want me to get off of that one? I think I will too. I feel something on my leg now. We are living in the lion's den. 1 Peter 5:8 says it like this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Remember that? That inspiration's coming out of Daniel. Seeking whom he may devour, resist him. Steadfast in faith. How do you resist him? Faith. How do you resist him? Faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance. When faith? Oh, key word. When faith? Now faith is the substance. It's not just faith. It's now faith. You see, faith doesn't work past and future. Faith just works now. Prophecy and visions for future. Faith works now. The next 10 minutes, now. Tomorrow, now. The next day, now. Now faith. Now, daily faith is like laying brick in a wall. Lay one brick and now faith tomorrow, now faith next day. And pretty soon you got the whole thing established that faith built. It requires, faith is not real faith if it's not now. It's just mind faith about what you did and what you might do, which has no supernatural effect. The only supernatural effect in faith is now faith is. Somebody say, I got it out. Your adversary, the devil, walks about roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in now faith, knowing that the same sufferings that are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. The same what? The same what? It was joy not here? What? Sufferings. Listen. Jesus Christ suffered on a cross. You, according to Scripture, are His reward. You are His joy of His sufferings. We are to fill up the joy of Jesus Christ's sufferings on the cross. Are you living a rewarding life to fulfill the joy to Jesus for the sufferings that He had on the cross? Did you ever know that's what you're doing? Why does Jesus allow these crises for us to go through? Because you feel just a little of His sufferings, but you trust Him just the same. Jesus was on the cross and He suffered, but He trusted God the Father. He said, if you'll go through this suffering, there's going to be joy in the morning. Trusting, it says. Goes on to say, you have but one weapon with which to fight the adversary. He says he's as a lion. Got a big mouth. He's going to devour you. The whole armor of God is all defensive. You have but one weapon. It's called the sword of the Spirit. Defense, you have but one offense. And it's not your brain. Somebody said it, thank goodness. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you are in a crisis, there's not but one weapon. You've got to determine. Listen, I don't care if you even created it. I don't care if you say you created the crisis. You can create a crisis, and the enemy is the one that empowers it. Your crisis has no power unless the enemy empowers it. So you got to take him out. You got to look at that lion. He's coming at you full force, mouth wide open. And you got to pull out the sword of the Spirit, and you got to hit him right in the heart. If you're staggering, the crisis is getting you, and you're staggering, get your word out. Get the word of God out. Said Alan, I've been trying to get it out again. You're wavering in your thinking. Your wavering is keeping you from thrusting the sword through the heart of the enemy. You can't kind of just ease it in. You got to be a treachery to hell. The devil's got to know you woke up this morning. He's got to fear that you woke up this morning. Because you got the sword of the Word of God and you'll stick in his heart every time he moves around. You're not moving. You're not swaying. You're going to kill him. You're going to take him out. Because you believe in your God. That's all I got to say about that. God delivered Daniel by scenario B. Do y'all remember about the fiery furnace? Every time I get on that thing, I get a hot flash or something. I don't know if it's from hell or heaven, but I get every time it gets weird. Every time I can say fiery furnace, and it's just not in my brain. I can feel the heat of it every time. Well, not every time. It's every time I'm standing up here, I feel it. I can talk about it down there, and it don't happen. Does anybody want to try it? Y'all remember the fiery furnace? And we had, you know, I did scenario A and B. Here, do you remember Daniel in the fiery furnace? Let me do a little thing here. Scenario A is we can be delivered from the fire. That means you're in a crisis, you know, and all of a sudden God's going to grab you and He pulls you out of it. And we say, glory to God, we had a miracle. Now listen, the deeper the miracle, the harder it is to be seen. The deeper the miracle, the harder it is to be seen. See, we're praying for scenario A miracles all the time. God, deliver us out of the fire. We're praying. There's three scenarios in the Bible. Three ways God does things. He'd take you out of the fire, just pull you right out. Scenario B, we can be delivered through the fire. You remember that. Daniel was thrown into the fire. He was in the fire. He didn't burn. One thing burned. Does anybody remember what it was? The ropes that bound him. Shot him out the other end. He was there, but he didn't have no ropes he was bound with. Scenario B, God sends you through the fire to burn bondage off of you. Most of us are in scenario B. We got a flame up our hinder parts about this high. We can't get rid of it. You know what I'm talking about. Most of us, scenario B, God's trying to burn some stuff off of us. That's what Daniel had in the lion's den. It's what Daniel had in the fiery furnace. Why do we have those two examples there with Daniel? Because that's usually what we're dealing with. God takes you through the fire or through the lion's den. Either way, you come out the other side. And you got less bound in you than you once did. I guarantee you, I can brag on Daniel all I want to, but I guarantee you Daniel had more faith when he come out of the lion's den than went in. Come on. Don't tell me. Yeah, he wasn't sitting there hitting him on the head with a stick. He's probably over in the corner saying, okay, God. Come on, God. Where are you at here now? I've trusted you this time. He's probably doing a little of this. Guarantee you when Daniel went out, said, God knew my God would do it. Yeah, he done her again. Look at there. He took me right through the fire one time. He run me right through the lion's den the second time. But God allows the crisis. Scenario C, we can be delivered by the fire into the arms of God. What does that mean? I'm leaving here. Daniel didn't know if the lions would eat him or not. But he knew his faith in his God was, if they eat me, I'm with you in glory. Now, for some reason, we don't see that as a deliverance, but the Bible does. We always want scenario A where God just pulls us out of it, but we didn't get a cotton-picking thing burn off of us. So God, in your Christian life and in your life, the first part of your life, He just pulled you out of the fire all the time. Then in life, you get into more scenario B's. The end of life, you get to try out scenario C one time. It's a one-time through deal. Anybody with me? Anybody feel the lions in the fire? Are you capturing what the Spirit's saying here? I'm telling you the truth. And it's with much pain and fear and trembling and scared to death that I deliver it. Because I know it's true, and it still scares me to death to try to pull it off. Good news is true. It's the same. Now, I'm going to get into the good side of Babylon. Got 5 minutes to do it in. There's a good part. Lion's den, Babylon. Good part of the first 6 chapters of Daniel. There's a good part of Babylon. Remember, God put Israel into Babylon to purify them. not for them to take on Babylon. God's put you in Babylon. You've been born at this time. You find yourselves in Babylon, going through a few lion's dens and a few fires here and there. It's for your good if you'll receive it. God's preparing you for your next assignment. You got to go through this fire or lion's den. Hang on. Just hang on. Your imagination of your future is not big enough. It's not big enough. Hang on. The assignment after the fire or the lion's den was bigger than you could imagine. Daniel never imagined himself. After the fire, he got appointed here. And he never imagined himself with his final, with those other appointments. The crisis in the fire is about God preparing you for your next appointment. I'm sorry it's a little rough, but it's necessary because life's real. The only thing easy around here is McDonald's. Life's real and life's hard. But the reward and the victory, the reward of victory is so sweet. Listen, when you get that rush from heaven, it's like a rush you ain't ever had before when you stick it right to the enemy. And he falls. And you stomp on him and spit on him. I don't care. He's a thief and a liar. He is not your friend. I better get in the good of Babylon. We have opportunities to experience intense encounters with God. That's a good part about being in Babylon. You have now an opportunity to experience intense encounters with God. All of y'all said you want to experience God, right? You just didn't know it's going to take a few lions, dens, and furnaces to get the job done, did you? But you said, I heard you say it, you wanted to have intense encounters with God. All right? This is what it looks like. But this is a good part of Babylon. If you weren't in Babylon, you couldn't have this experience. So it's obvious that God put us on planet Earth in Babylon, so we could experience things here on earth that we couldn't experience in heaven. Come on, somebody. There's things that you can experience here that you can't experience there. Let's get them all in we can. I wish all of y'all would go online. Look up life expectancy chart. Go in there and fill out the little lines that give you your life expectancy. All of your little things that you do, eat a Tootsie Roll once a day. Just put it all in there. It'll say that you will die on October the 3rd, 2021. You want to make it real? Did you know there's not nothing you can put in there that won't give you a date? I didn't fill out none of them and punch it in there and said sooner than you think. Hey, this is my point. This is my point. Get all this in we can get. If you got a crisis bigger than you, it's because it is. Lines are big. God intended it to be bigger than you. It's taking you to your next assignment. If God had given Daniel scenario A, he would have missed the God encounter. Now, that's just the way it is. When you are in the fiery furnace or in the lion's den, you can experience a glorious encounter with God. Now, you said you wanted it. God's given you the opportunity to get it. And you want scenario A, so you don't get it. It's not the way it works. I am so sorry. I didn't create the heavens or the earth. I didn't create English language, and I didn't create understanding. I didn't create the Spirit. God did all that, and it's just the way it is, and there you got it. It's just the way it is. 2 Timothy says this, Paul says that at my first offense, no one stood with me. Now, you got to understand, Paul. This was probably Paul's last message, his last revelation, his last understanding. He was at the end here. He said, at my first offense, no one stood with me. Daniel's in the line to see him by himself. How do you know if you're in a real crisis? It's because you feel like you're all alone. You feel like you're all alone. Nobody understands it. I'm all alone. Okay, you're in a crisis. God let it come. Here you go. There's nobody but you and God. You can't have your wife or your children or a friend. Nobody can help you here. You feel like you're all by yourself. God, where are you? He's there. The reason you feel alone is because God had to create the crisis so you'd feel all alone, so you'd trust Him. It's a God purpose. Paul said, no defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. You say, well, nobody understands. My wife doesn't understand. My kid, nobody understands me. Oh, I'm just by myself. What's my response? God, don't hold it against them. Don't hold it against them, God. But the Lord stood with me. Wasn't wife, kids, wasn't friends, wasn't nobody. Why? Because they weren't there. Why? God created it. You're in a spiritual moment because it's internal. And the moment I've said it, you've not said that to anybody, but you know it's the truth because I just told you the truth and you hadn't told nobody. You're there by yourself. God created the moment. It's the opportunity to grasp and to experience God in this moment. Paul said, God strengthened me so that the message might be preached more fully through me. It's just when you and God, you're getting ready to get an anointing from God, somebody. I can't lay hands on you and give it to you. Nobody can, but God can, and you get it in the middle of a crisis. God's preparing you to give you a download. The enemy's doing everything he can do to get you out from under the spout where the glory comes out. He's doing everything he can. God strips you. He strips you of your feelings. You're all alone. You're by yourself. You're naked before God. It's the preparation of the anointing. And then it comes. So that the message might be preached fully through me. Fully. You wanted to preach a message all the time. It says in your heart, said, God, I don't preach a message. Don't anoint me. And God says, okay, you just didn't read Daniel. You should have read Daniel. Was Daniel anointed? Extremely. Paul says it, that the message might be preached. Why are you going through the crisis you're going through? Is because God, you can say, well, God's pretty hard. It's a pretty hard message, too. Pretty mean world out here. But your message that you preach by going through your crisis will have anointing that it did not have before. Might be preached through me. That all the Gentiles might hear, also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. It could have been figuratively, but probably it's a good chance Paul was in. They were feeding some Christians at that time, the hungry lions. He was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Went on to say this, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever. Amen. The Apostle Paul knew at this time that he was getting ready to experience scenario C. Wasn't long after that he was beheaded or whatever. He knew, preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Scenario C. Every believer will experience all three scenarios in their life. When we're praying for the sick and everything we're praying for, remember, you got three scenarios. God can heal somebody. We're looking for scenario A. We think we're really spiritual if we pull off a bunch of scenario A's. We're doing a little better in our spirituality when we help you pull off scenario B's. And we do real good when we prepare you for scenario C. So scenario A's at the bottom, then B, then C. But if I'm sick, I'll take A any time. I don't want to belittle that one. Paul knew that scenario C would ultimately take him home. Why? It was so it could preserve him. Why? So that when he preached the gospel, that he would fully be anointed from nobody but the Almighty God. And that lion trying to eat him is what pushed him through it, to trust God. Has your limit of trust in God, has the requirement been upped lately? God's the one that's raising the bar. Good to Babylon 2. It's 20 after 10. This is my last teaching on Babylon. Can I finish? We can emerge from a terribly hurtful situation unhurt and unharmed. Now it says, we can emerge. I didn't say you wouldn't be hurting in it. But you can emerge unhurt and unharmed. You'll think it's going to kill you and you can't stand it, but you can. Daniel 5, this is the way he said it. My God sent His angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before Him. And also, O King, I have done no wrong before You. Now, he came through unhurt and unharmed, and that's pretty good. But he was also found innocent. I want to show you a little something here. What if we're not innocent? Pretty good for Daniel. Did Daniel's, it always has in these verses, Daniel's innocence. And I'm glad for Daniel. I can't say that. Well, did you know God had provisions for Daniel whether he'd been innocent or not? That's in the Scriptures that he made it and he was. But what if he wasn't? Jeremiah was the prophet that prophesied Israel going into Babylon. Jeremiah, as he was lamenting, it says, and he was crying out to God, says this in Jeremiah 10:19, woe is me for my hurt. My wound is severe. Can anybody say that? But I say, truly this is an infirmity, and I must bear it. Jeremiah's prophesying Israel's going in and all that, and they're going to have this big wound and all this is going to happen. But then it goes on to say, and God says this, Jeremiah 30:12, for thus says the Lord, your affliction is incurable, your wound is severe, God says. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wound, says the Lord. All right, there again, I'm going to read it. You should have just been climbing off the walls right there. The point being, the prophet Jeremiah, contemporary unto Daniel, he had prophesied, if they all failed, God was still going to heal them. God had already made the provision, for I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds. And he says, my wound is severe. And God says, I know your wound's severe. Your emotional wound, your physical wound, they're all severe and God knows it. And you probably were self-inflicted, just like Israel. You don't have to be a Daniel and say, I'm innocent and everything, because God knew he needed more than one Daniel. Babylon's got a lot of territory. God knew. So he made the provision for Israel. He said, I'm going to heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Not only is he going to heal you, he's going to restore you. That's what he says. I'm glad Daniel was innocent. But had he failed a little bit along the way, had he got a toe or two nibbled off, you know what I mean? If he just kind of lost a leg on the way in, God still had a provision. Why? It's because it's all about God. He's a good God. He's wanting us to step up to the plate, and when we fall, He'll still heal our wounds. And they're severe unto death, but He'll heal us. Daniel 6 says, now the king was exceedingly glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No injury was ever found on him because he believed in his God. Issue is trust. Issue is trusting God in your lion's den, in your fiery furnace. Daniel influences those who he's influenced, and I'm about to finish. Daniel's key thing was Daniel influenced those who influence. Daniel influenced the king. which influenced everybody else, the whole Babylon. Daniel influenced one man. Everybody sitting in here. The issue is, you influence those who influence. The enemy's trying to take out your influence. Daniel 6:26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. The king said that. The king's the one that made the declaration. Why? Because Daniel influenced somebody that influences. Okay, Daniels, you're influencing people all around you. You might not be influencing but one person, they're influencing a lot. The issue is the kingdom. How are we salt of the earth? We can influence non-believers, but they still respect you because they know you know God. I look for the day that people drive down this road and they look over at this church and I don't know who they are over there, but I heard that they know God. The good of Babylon, we have the opportunity to see a worldly king become impressed with our God. God has put you here in the present day Babylon. You have been created for this day, created to influence, so Babylon can believe. You know this one, don't you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means Babylon too, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All of your furnaces, all of your lions den, it's all about bringing people into the kingdom of God. I'm done. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love You. Lord Jesus, we love You. Thank You for Your Word.